You are listening to a podcast from thelowell.org. Today, Adriana Miller reads her column from the March 24th, 2011 issue of The Lowell. Let's take a listen.
My first ice cream cake was also my last. I didn't particularly want one, but a gift certificate for Baskin-Robbins ended any discussion. My friend sang happy birthday, and my mother handed me a slice of chocolate cake. A perfectly lovely birthday, if only I could stand the sickeningly rich mud brown dessert. My dislike of chocolate is usually a conversation killer. The rare moments I bring it up, my abnormal taste is met with gasps, stares, and general confusion. After the general shock, people pause as they unwrap their Kit Kat, outraged at my audacity. My dislike of the treat has been treated like a rare disease. Hardly anyone dislikes chocolate, and those who do are considered abnormalities. But it is difficult to maintain my aversion in a chocoholic world. After all, every time I turn around, someone is sipping True Moo chocolate milk or chomping on the cafeteria's chocolate chip cookies. So I've finally given in. Yes, I am a recovering chocophobic. I used to be an extremist. I could have been called the No Hershey's Girl. At my best friend's 7th birthday party, her father rummaged around all the party favors to find the only tiny orange bag without any offending Snickers, Milky Way, and Three Musketeers. Since every party seemed to center around chocolate, at one gathering, my friend's mother even brought a separate carrot cake for me. I couldn't exactly say what I didn't like about chocolate. Occasionally, I would taste one of the hundreds of chocolates I received during trick-or-treating, a Valentine's Day party, or a friend's piñata bash. Brown mush. I didn't understand why everyone was so crazy about it. What was so great about the heavy, overwhelming taste? I preferred simpler and visually appealing fare, like Starburst and gummy bears. Strangely, the people most aware of my issue were also the ones who most surrounded me with truffles and chocolate-covered almonds. My family is very loving and addicted to chocolate. My father's go-to gift for anyone is a box of See's candy, as the store is conveniently located by his office. Throughout the years, I've received many foil-wrapped coins and mini boxes of chocolate, only to donate them to be gobbled up by my family. Avoiding chocolate became more difficult as time went by. In the past couple of years, cocoa bean products have wormed their way into my life. For instance, mint chocolate chip ice cream is surprisingly delicious. Who knew? I have also been a victim of eating whatever's there when I'm bored, hence random chocolate snacks would find their way to my stomach. With age comes freedom to figure out what you're going to eat that day without your mother preparing it. As my younger sister developed a fondness for chocolate milk, a laziness to advocate for my own drink inspired the cartons in my lunch. My friends found their true calling as adventurous bakers, bringing goodies like chocolate Rice Krispie treats and chocolate-dipped shortbread to school. I looked forward to the days when my friends' tasty treats gave me a brief sugar high. Then one day, I voluntarily ordered a chocolate dessert, before any chocolate I consumed had been shipped to me by a well-meaning but uninformed chocolate enthusiast. The evening, I ordered a Nutella crepe at Squat and Gobble, marked a new era. I was a chocolate eater. I'm still taking the chocolate conversion at a slow pace. I cannot stand big ticket items like chocolate cake and ice cream, coupon or not. The visual appeal of dark chocolate still mystifies me, as it's still the somewhat bitter brown glop. Whenever I do eat chocolate, another food, nuts, strawberries, toast, need to tone down the richness. The other day, however, I ate a pure chocolate donut hole. Scandalous, I know.